is my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its scenes while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain
to another edition of The Edge of Darkness. Today's date is January 27th, 2023, and I am the guest host for Jeffrey Bennett, your own Maggie Rose. Folks, a long time ago when I was growing up, my mother, who was an English teacher and a writer, a poet, an author, one of the poems she taught me and had me memorize was by Robert Frost. And that poem is called The Road Not Taken. And if you read the poem, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and I took the one less traveled by, that kind of describes a little bit about my story and the journey that I've been on, but also the guest that we're going to have coming up here in a moment. This is going to be the first guest that I brought here with me onto The Edge of Darkness. And this is a gentleman who definitely has lived a very interesting life. Like myself, he's come from a rather rocky background growing up. We had many challenges that were thrown at us. He's a gentleman who served in the military. He was an Army veteran. He served in quite a few organizations across the nation, fighting for our rights, our civil rights, our God-given rights. And truly a patriot, believes in the U.S. Constitution and in the Oregon Constitution as well. And before I bring him up, I want you guys to just hear, and hopefully you can hear a bit about this song, and you'll kind of have an idea of what tonight's show is going to be all about. We're going to be talking about the Oregon Measure 114, which is the gun grab that is going on. We have my favorite organization. I do not support NRA any longer and haven't for a long time, even though my husband and I were both at one time life members, and they're still trying to come after us to send money to them. But we will give our money to the Oregon Firearms Federation and to the Gun Owners of America before we give it to anyone else. But we're going to be talking tonight, and my guest is going to be talking about Measure 114, Second Amendment Sanctuary Ordinance, including a couple other issues that are near and dear to him. And so tonight is a very, very important show. And that's why I'm asking you again, and I've told you before, if you listen to Maggie Rose, please have a piece of paper and a pencil and a pen handy if you're not recording this, so you can write down any and all information he gives you, because it's very important that you guys do your homework. We are not here to entertain you, and both Jeffrey Bennett and I have told you this, both of us over the last 30 years we've been doing radio. We are here to motivate, to educate, and hopefully to inspire you to pick up the torch and march to your own drummer, if so be, but at the same time, work on your community. Start at a grassroots level and work up. So I just wanted to play a little bit of this, and some of you will recognize the song, and this goes right along with the topic of tonight's show.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it.
So, folks, with that, I'd like to introduce to you a very good and dear friend. He's like a younger brother to my husband and myself, and he basically has mentored us in many ways. And so I want to welcome you, Chris Brumbles, for the first time here to Republic Broadcasting Network and also to The Edge of Darkness. Thank you, Chris, for coming on tonight.
Well, thank you, Maggie. Is that what we're going by tonight, Maggie?
Yeah, we're going by Maggie tonight, yes. My AKA, my non de plume, right?
There you go. Yeah, this. So I'd like to tell the history, the whole history of this measure, if I could, just to get people caught up. This started out with, there's this church in Portlandia, and I don't know how many people know what about Portland, Oregon, but it's just a Marxist beehive. I mean, it's just nothing but a bunch of morons living there. And there's this church there called Augustana Lutheran Church, and them together with a bunch of other, well, they call themselves a church, but let's face it, they embrace, you know, transvestites and illegal invaders and Antifa fascists and Black Lives Matter and Marxists and everything that's detrimental to God and country. Under the guise of religion, I think that they are religion. They're worshiping Satan, Alinsky, and Stalin personally. But they got together with some other churches, and they decided to start this group called Lift Every Voice. And these people have been given a ton of money by people like Soros just to destroy our natural born rights. They started out by doing two measures, IP-17 and IP-18. IP-17 is the one that has morphed into Measure 114. IP-18 was a total ban on what they call assault weapons, which, of course, we know assault is an action, not a gun. I mean, so they made a deal with the legislature, is what we're hearing, and they dropped IP-18 because they're going to try and push a assault weapons ban, so-called assault weapons ban. And at the same time, they're going to do another – I believe that this Lift Every Voice is going to do another, you know, another petition to do an assault weapons ban too. So they want to take all of our guns. They want to take all of our rights. They want to leave us helpless and defenseless, and it's just disgusting to me. Anyways, they kept the IP-17. We fought them in court, and yeah, you know, the NRA did call us and asked us, are you guys fighting their title in court? And we said, yes. And they said, well, if there's anything we can do to help you, let us know. We said, yeah, you can help pay the lawyer fees. And they said, no, we can't do that. So that's pretty much what we get from the NRA. So anybody want a national gun group, Oregon Firearms Federation is a state, you know, is the only no compromise gun group in the state. And we're very good friends with Gun Owners of America. That's where my boss came from. He used to work for them. They are no compromise too. So give your money to them instead of the NRA. If you're going to give money to somebody, they're fighting all the battles. So IP-17 was the petition they started. And the funny thing about this, when you do IP, you have to have, there's three rules. You have to have, you can only have a single subject. You have to have the complete text, and it cannot be administrative. This thing is both administrative They do have the complete text, but it has more than one subject, as you'll find out here in a minute. But our attorney general is a Marxist, and she of course thinks that's constitutional under Oregon Constitution. It was not. So she went ahead and okayed them to gather signatures. The funny thing is, you get 2 years to gather signatures. They gathered signatures they were down to the last week, and they needed 50,000 more signatures. Now, I can't remember the exact number they needed, something like 120-some thousand signatures. So supposedly, they had gotten 70-some thousand signatures in the first, well, almost 2 years. You know, you had a week left, and they're claiming they got 50,000 signatures the last week. I call BS on that. I don't believe it. But in Oregon, when they count those signatures, they only do 3% is what I'm reading. So if they count the right 3%, you know, they take 3% and they just say, okay, this 3% had 80% or whatever. And they say, okay, then there's 80% of these signatures are good to count them up. And they say it's good. I don't trust it. I don't believe it because, of course, this state is run by Democrats and has been for 30 years. And, well, they're not even Democrats. They're Marxists. Let's call them that because that's what they are.
Yep.
So there's two hurdles. I think they illegally put this on, you know, let them collect signatures. I don't think they got the signatures, but obviously if we can prove that, it's going to be a long time before we can prove that. So it passed. So then when it passed by, I believe, 0.7%. So, of course, Portland calls all the shots. 127,000 people in Portland voted for it. It passed by 27,000 votes. So
wow.
This is the most anti-American, racist, radical, most dangerous, unconstitutional gun law in the country. And it does nothing for criminals. It's a control mechanism is what it is. What it does is this would require you to get a permit in order to purchase a gun. Now, to get that permit, you'd go to the county sheriff or the chief of police, who will be known as the permitting agent. It requires that you take a class on federal and state laws, safety, storage, and some other things, including gun. You have to go to the gun range. First of all, this thing is not funded, and the sheriff's offices have said, they've said this was going to probably cost anywhere between $50 and $70 million, and of course there's going to be a $65 fee, but you will only collect something like, I think it was 18.5-19 million. I can't remember the exact figure. So this is unfunded. So where's the money coming from? I reckon it'll come from us, huh? But that's hard to say. So you would be required to take a class on federal, state, and state laws. You would have to demonstrate you could shoot the gun at a gun range. You'd have to take safety courses and storage. It doesn't say who is qualified to give these classes. If you do get a permit, you know, it doesn't say that they have to give you a permit. And if they give you a permit, it says, you know, it doesn't guarantee you can buy a gun. So this is the craziest law I've ever seen. It also establishes an online gun registry, which violates federal law. So your personal information will be out there for your favorite identity thief to see. This is just getting crazier and crazier. They also added a magazine ban to limit your ammunition to 10 rounds in a magazine, which they're really most, you know, these are commonly owned magazines out there that are 30 rounds in rifles and pistols. They sometimes have 18, 20 rounds in them. And there's really, but it's different than the California law. In the California law, you can plug it up. You know, you can plug it up so it only accepts so many rounds. In Oregon, it cannot be able to, be changed to accept more rounds. And they sell extensions for these magazines. So there is no way that you're going to be able to own a gun, even if you can get a gun. This is highly unconstitutional. We all know that all gun laws are illegal anyway. And if nobody, I mean, the Bruin case, I believe, proves that. I think eventually we're going to get rid of 99 or 100% of all these gun laws eventually, but it's going to take a lot of time and money. So, I mean, if you can, they did allow your magazines to be grandfathered in for like a AR-15 if you have 30, but you can't take it anywhere. You can take it to a gun range, but you basically have to lock it up separate from the magazines, and you can only go to like a gun range to shoot and back home, pretty much. There's not really, you can go to competitions, I believe. So this is going to affect, and there's some other things in there. I mean, anybody wants to read the bill, go to OregonFirearms.org, sign up for our free alert so you know what's going on. And if you would, if you could donate, go ahead and donate. We don't like to ask people for money, but we're in the middle of a lawsuit right now, several lawsuits. And it's gonna cost a ton of money. It already has. So we did sue Measure 114 in federal court, and gun owners, thank goodness, Gun Owners of America sued in state court, and there's a judge in Harney County that went ahead and put an injunction on all this garbage till the case is over. Of course, we know that the state is going to go to the Supreme Court and ask them, the Supreme Court of Oregon, and they're going to ask them to, you know, get rid of the injunction. Oh, sorry about that. Let me cut this off.
That's okay. You're a busy guy.
Well, I didn't know I had it on. So where was I? Oh yeah, the state's gonna. Oh, there's also part of this law says that you cannot. The way the law, federal and state law, is now, if you go to get a background check done,
right,
and it's not done in 72 working hours,
right,
they can give you your gun. But they nullified that in this law too. So there's three things at least. Well, they did some things with kids too. But
how can they nullify that?
Well, it's in the law that you can't get your background check done until they answer you. And of course, our governor, or Kate Brown, our last governor, gave them standing orders, according to a guy that came into court that used to work for Fix, and said, you know, delay as much as possible. And, you know, if you don't have you have to have some kind of a rule to allow these guns to go out, or these permits, excuse me, background checks to be done, or they'll just never do a background check and you'll never get one.
Right.
And so the law, the federal law and the state law, is 3 days. That's three working days. So if you went in on a Tuesday, then it would be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then I don't think weekends count, so it would probably be Monday before you could get your background check done, or get your gun without a background check. But of course, you know, the left, they call this a loophole, like they do everything. Everything's a loophole if it doesn't go their way. But I think it's a loophole by getting rid of that so that they can never give you your background check, which are totally unconstitutional and illegal anyways. What do you think? So if y'all want to read this whole thing, I would go to OregonFirearms.org, sign up for our alerts while you're there, so you can be kept up on all these crazy guns, because there's 21 more gun laws they're trying to pass right now in Salem.
I have somebody texting me on my phone. Is it OregonFirearmsFederation.org or OregonFirearms.org?
OregonFirearms.org, but it is Oregon Firearms Federation, but it's the site is OregonFirearms.org.
Okay.
And thank you. But this is just crazy. The assault on our. No, whatever you just sent me is not right.
That's not right?
No, you had a whole bunch of extra letters there.
Oh, yeah, I know that. I see that. So it's all lowercase, though, is what we need to tell our people.
OregonFirearms.org. And you know, we're pretty good at, if you sign up for alerts, we will send you. Kevin does a great job at sending out alerts and letting everybody know what's going on. But I honestly think these folks, they just think we elect kings. We don't elect kings, and the legislature is not the Politburo. And I'm just tired of this crap. Excuse my
okay.
language.
So what a lot of the people are saying is, being that we know that so many of the federal judges and other judges throughout Oregon and the United States have been bought and paid for by the Democrats, by the liberals, or by their blue state governors. We've got a guy by the name of Desmond right now who, as you know, has been fighting a case in court, and he's made quite a bit of leeway, showing that over 90% of our legislators in Salem that are pushing this Measure 114, and many of our officials, including county commissioners and many of the 36 counties of Oregon, are all in their positions illegally because they all took money from big corporations inside and outside Oregon, as well as other countries. And that violates the Oregon State Constitution, Article 2, Section 22. So being the fact that nobody is really putting teeth and making these people accountable, like many of these judges are not held accountable to their oath of office. I mean, if you get right down to it, even Kate Brown, who left recently with over $200 million in her personal bank account, Tina Kotek, Christine Drazen, and Betsy Johnson all took money from Pfizer, from Nike, and other big corporations. None of them are eligible to hold the office of governor. As you know, the only person who's eligible to hold the office of governor now is myself, who ran against those three women. So if we can't make our legislatures, our politicians accountable to the Oregon State Constitution, how are we going to make them accountable to the Oregon State Constitution and the U.S. Constitution regarding our Second Amendment?
Well, that's a good question. Unfortunately, I mean, right now we're in the court phase, and obviously, I think that they're pushing for a civil war. I do. I think the feds are doing it. The Democrats at the federal level and all levels, they are just trampling on our rights. Look, we created them. They didn't create us.
Right.
They are sovereign. The state's sovereign to the federal government. They are the creature, and the states were the creator, and we created the states. So, you know, people just got to remember that liberty is the inherent possession of men. It's not the gift of government, and they can't take it away. I will not obey any more gun laws. I've been saying that for years. I've said it on the Capitol steps, and I mean it. I will not do it. And it's time for us to demand our rights, not to ask for them. We shouldn't have to ask for them. They have no authority to trample on our rights like they're doing. And at some point, I guess, I don't know.
So you're saying under Measure 114, the way I'm understanding it, that there are quite a few sheriffs in Oregon, in your state of Oregon, that are stating that they will not enforce this. They believe it's unconstitutional and they will not enforce it. They truly stand by their oath as sheriffs to protect their counties and the rights of their people. So when you look at Measure 114, let's just say this was going to pass and they're going to shove it down everyone's throats. They're not only saying that you have to pay for a background check, and then you have to pay for a permit, then you have to pay for a special permit to go take a class, and then that class, after you take it, you have to pay for another permit that backs up that permit. So we're talking about the average
Wait a minute. You got too many permits in there. But let's say you never owned a gun. Excuse me. And you know, the thing is, they brought people. This is a church people now. They brought people from out of state to gather signatures. And I thought, you know, honestly, I thought there's no way. We got some low information morons in this state that vote. But I said, there's no way they're going to sign off on this. They're not going to get the signatures. But they brought people from out of state that just told lies. They just said, oh, it's just about a background check. Well, we've got background checks everywhere now. If you wanted a concealed handgun license and you have never had a gun, and you decide once this law goes into effect, you decide you want to get a CHL and a gun, you would have to go get a permit, pay $65 for that, pass all the classes. Then you would have to go, and they would have to do a background check through the FBI. And then you would have to go to the sheriff's office again and fill out the paperwork and get a background check done by the state police, pay the fee there. I think the fee there now is $115.
And then you would
have to go to buy a gun and do another background check. So you'd have to do three background checks. I don't know how many background checks these fools want you to do. And you have to pay for every one of those.
That's what I mean.
So now this is going to put especially women and minorities and, you know, people in lower incomes, it's going to basically cut them off at the knees. They won't be able to, they'll be left helpless.
So what you're saying, Chris, is they do have to pay for about 3 background checks or permits, not including paying for the class. Now, I know when I went and took a class.
That is if you wanted to buy a gun, get a CHL, and that's just if you wanted to get a CHL and get a gun, you'd have to do three
background. To do a concealed hand carry, right?
Right.
Okay, so let's say you want to do a concealed hand carry. Even if you don't want to do a concealed hand carry, there's still the classes I know are averaging $65 just for the class. We're not talking about all the background checks and the permits and the fees and the licensing. We're talking about just the class alone is roughly around $50 to $65. You're talking about a single woman raising maybe 3 children or someone with low income.
Now, wait a minute. Now, there's $65 to get your permit to get a gun. We don't know if they're going to charge or how much they're going to charge to learn the federal and state law. Laws, which we think they're going to charge you for that. So it could feasibly cost you like $1,500, couple thousand dollars just to be able to carry a gun.
Yeah, that's insane.
Depending on the circumstances.
That's insane.
Well, this is all insane. You know, I can't imagine what if we passed a law that says that those churches had to pay for a permit to go to church and limit the number of days they can attend and establish a registry. And they couldn't have scary black Bibles and limited the pages they could read. It's just as ridiculous. One right is not better than another right. That Second Amendment is. Let's face it. When our founders wrote the Second Amendment, they didn't just come off the gun range and they just didn't come off target practice.
Right.
They just got done fighting a tyrannical government. And that's why they're after our guns, because they want to control everything. Well, we know that's what they want to do. They want a one world order and all that. They've talked about it many times. They tried to force a shot in you, in your body. If they can do that, you don't own your body and you're a slave. But I'm sorry, this is America. We are free. We don't have to put up with that.
So what are we going to do in a case like when it comes to our Second Amendment, when right now the World Health Organization is trying to pull together many other countries to push in May something where they will force every nation on the planet to have not only vaccine passports and international travel cards and special surveillance scanning before you can travel from country to country across the borders, and they think that they can come into the United States and get people like the Biden administration to sign off giving the World Health Organization the permission that even if there is no pandemic or there is no crisis, they can declare that there might be one, so therefore they can lock down the world. Well, locking down the world also means locking down our firearms and our right to be able to carry and have the Second Amendment. So it's not just...
Well, I got to correct something there. See, the Second Amendment does not give us our rights. Our rights came from God. The Second Amendment is to chain the government. It's not to give us right. Read it. It's thou shalt not, thou shalt not. It's like the Ten Commandments to the government.
Right.
And you know what? We do not elect kings. So... You know, Sleepy Joe can try and do whatever he wants, but he's just going to cause a war. That's
well, you're right. The founding fathers didn't give us our rights in the Constitution. They just declared these were our God-given natural rights, and it shall not be infringed.
Right, and the reason we created government is in the birth certificate. You know, Declaration of Independence says, and to protect these rights, governments were instituted. And I don't think they're protecting our rights, so they're illegitimate. And, you know, I'm not somebody who thinks we don't need government. We do need government. But we don't need government telling us everything to do. We need them to stay in their limits and do what they're put here to do, protect our rights and protect our borders. That's their job. Their job isn't to nanny us and tell us what we can drink and what we can eat and try and force shots into us and stuff like that. I'm just sick of this. Excuse me. But... We, you know, this is the United States of America. We were born of revolution, and we were weaned on gunpowder. For the same reason, I mean, I think today's even worse than it was in 1776. They're trying to control every aspect of our life. And they need to, people need to look at their history, see who we were so we can remember who we are. And we need to be that person again. We just need to reject the reset. You know?
Yeah.
We need to not comply with illegal laws. We need to fight them at every turn, and we need to, everybody needs to stand up, let their voices be heard, because I promise you, they're more afraid of you than you are of them. That's why they're coming after your guns.
Exactly. And the only way they can really implement fully all these other plans for us is by taking our guns first.
Well, yeah. I mean, guns are, I mean, the first law of nature is the right to protect your, is the right to life and to protect it at any, by any means necessary. And, you know, AR-15s are the best choice for that right now. So we definitely cannot give up our guns, no matter what.
So tell me, what does a person do when we're hearing stories all across the nation of a person being woken out of a sound sleep between 11 o'clock at night and 3 in the morning, and, you know, he's in his johns, and he goes to the front door to open up the door to see who's out there pounding on his door, and he happens to have a gun with him, and he opens up the door, and they immediately shoot him, the law enforcement. I mean, he came to the door. They've woken him out of a sound sleep. He happens to have a gun with him, and he's not pointing at anybody. He's not threatening, and it's just in his hands, but they shoot him dead because he opened up his own front door to their knocking, and he happened to have a firearms in his hands. I mean, when is something like this going to stop? This is,
you know, I just watched a pretty good video on this by Assad. What's the name? Assad Muab or whatever his name is. You know, his idea was don't open the door. I mean, especially late at night like that, don't open the door. There's nobody going to be, he said, because normally, I mean, if you open the door at 3 a.m, it's probably going to be, it's either a criminal or a cop. Let's face right. it.
Yeah.
And so just don't open the door. Just have your gun ready and, you know, talk to him through the door. That's what I would do. And of course, if they see a gun, they could shoot you. And,
right.
And they don't get arrested. You know, I wanted to bring up something, too. I was just reading how Brazil elected a conservative president last time. And he decided everybody should carry guns. He increased, the guns increased in Brazil 600%, and their homicide rate plummeted. But you don't hear about that on the lamestream media. And this happens over and over again. Guns don't kill people. It's evil people kill people.
Yeah.
We need to. And the thing is, every gun law that they write, none of it affects law. I mean, they only affect law-abiding citizens. They don't affect criminals. This is a scam. This is a hoax. And we need to stand up against this. And I don't care what your political persuasion is. If your life has got to be as important to you as mine is to me.
But, so when we have a church like the one up in Portland, what was the name of that church again?
Augustana Lutheran Church.
Augustana Lutheran. Okay, so we have a Lutheran church like this. It's interesting because much of the Lutheran religion came out of Scotland, and you know how the Scotlands were fighting for the Scottish were fighting for their rights and for freedom. You know, I don't know who hasn't.
I'm Scott. Ulster Scott and Cherokee, so I know all about that. I've studied my history.
So you understand it, okay? And I'm a history major. So when we see that these churches, when it behooves them, they'll turn around and say, oh, you can't mix church and state. But then those same churches that say you can't mix church and state are the next ones running to try to get the state governments to take away our natural born rights. Does that make any sense?
Well, you know, there was a Lutheran church, and I'm not picking on Lutherans because I'm sure that just like everything, there's bad and good, just like there's bad cops and good cops. But there was a Lutheran church in Europe that actually ran a concentration camp.
So wow.
I don't think that's working for God. I don't think they're necessarily. I think there's some of those false prophets and stuff that you hear about in the Bible. So I think you got to look at their actions. I'm, you know, and what I hear, they won't even let you in church now down there because they're afraid of pushback. That's right. What I've from a couple of people, friends of mine, who's tried to go down there and go to their church.
No, I just got a text message from someone about 30 seconds ago saying, "Dear Maggie, would you," because this is one of my former listeners that is listening to the show right now, who is actually hearing you right now, and said, "Can you please explain what say so means and how we can get it here in our own county?" And I don't know if this person is in Oregon or if they're in another state, but would the say so also apply in other states as well? Question.
Absolutely. You got it. So I'm the northern coordinator of the SAPO and the say so. Second Amendment. How should I start this? I passed both laws in my county. The Second Amendment Preservation Ordinance, what it did was it basically told the sheriff, well, it said the county could not enforce any unconstitutional gun laws since 2012, because that's where we've had most of our trouble since then. And it said that the sheriff got to decide what was constitutional. Well, the county commissioners didn't like that a bit. And then we did this. Once I got that passed, I don't mean to say I passed it. I did most of that one, but I had a lot of help from the county on when the Second Amendment Sanctuary Ordinance came around. I did an ordinance for Second Amendment Sanctuary Ordinance, and that basically said the county could not use manpower, buildings, money, donations, anything to enforce unconstitutional gun laws, with the exception of machine guns and felons. And because we knew that if we put machine guns and felons on there, it would never pass. Even though I believe that we should be able to have machine guns and felons should be able to, felons, once they've gone to prison and served their time, they should be clean. They should be able to own guns again. That's the way it was for many, 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 many years. I mean, back in the old West, they used to hand them their guns on the way out of prison. And a lot of those people became sheriff. Of course, a lot of them were corrupt, but it still happened. But you can get a hold of me at, I'm trying to remember what my email address is now. I'll get that to you in a minute. I'll get that information to you in a minute. I actually have to look at my card. That's crazy. But what we can do is we can help you. Well, let me back up a little bit. These say-sos are now in 61% of the counties around the country. And the attorney general and my county commissioners didn't like that. And so we got sued a few years ago. Well, 2020, I believe, after our say-so passed. So a little bit after that, maybe it's 2021. Our county commissioners tried to pull a sneaky. They got together with our county council and they said, oh, these two laws are the same thing, which they aren't. We're going to blend them. They found out by blending them, they could get them in front of a judge. So they blend them, went in front of a judge and say, yeah, we want to know what the people meant by this. And meanwhile, they're winking at them going, yeah, this is unconstitutional. But they're coming out on they come out on the newspaper and radio saying, yeah, we're doing this for the people. So we understand what you want. Meanwhile, they were trying to get away with it. And I know that because I'm pretty sure, 99% sure, that the county council called in every town from New York, called our attorney general and a big law firm in Portland. So they even tried to sneak it by. I did not hear about public comment until it was too late. So we put leaned a little bit on one of the county commissioners, and he allowed Oregon Firearms Federation to interpose. So we went in there and we took our lawyer in there and we took on these Goliaths and we beat them. We beat them.
Oh,
in court.
Wow.
But then one of our county commissioners told the other ones, he says, I'll never do this again. He said, because he was brand new. So they kind of tricked him into this. He said, I'm not going to go along. If the people pass a law, I'm not going to go and try and change it or get rid of it. And so the other two went behind his back with the county council and decide to appeal without a public meeting or anything. And there's actually a term for that. I can't recall what it is right now, but what they did was illegal, but I didn't find out until the statute of limitations was up. So I couldn't do anything. So right now we just got done with appeals court. You know, it's been taking about a year and we're waiting for the decision on that. But we were the very first say-so that every town went after in the nation. And hopefully we'll win this, but highly unlikely because our ex-governor, crazy Kate Brownstein, is the one who appointed all the judges. But to answer her question, if you want to do a say-so, get a hold of me, Chris Brumbles at Oregon Firearms Federation, and I will get that email address for you in a few minutes. And I will, you know, send your contact information, your phone number, all that, and I'll get a hold of you, and we will get you started. Of course, you're going to have to do some work, though, because we'll send you our templates, and you're just going to have to, you know, check with somebody about your state law and make sure it's going to fit into your state law so you can fight it in court if you have to.
So the templates will be slightly different depending upon what state this individual is in. They may be in Oregon, they may be in Idaho. So each state will be somewhat different, right?
Yeah, I mean, depending on state law, you're going to have to change them a little bit. So
okay. So now what's the difference? The person also wanted to know what was the difference between SAPO and SAPO.
I'll explain it again. The SAPO told the county they couldn't enforce illegal, unconstitutional gun laws since 2012, and it made the sheriff the one who decides what's constitutional. And the SAPO is just better. It says the county cannot spend money, manpower, donations, anything enforcing any gun law, with the exception of machine guns and felons.
Okay, and then your email is
if you do a county law that says you can have machine guns, they're gonna, you know, you're gonna get destroyed on that one.
Oh yeah,
even now, though it's stupid.
Your email is that the one that's grizverine@gmail.com?
No, don't say that one.
Not that one.
Hang on a second. If you give me a minute, I can. Why don't you? Can you talk for a minute while I go get a
card? Yeah, I can do that. Not a problem. Okay. So, folks, what we're trying to talk about here is we're talking about your Second Amendment or your natural God-given rights. All the founding fathers did. All the founding fathers did was have it written into the Constitution that our Second Amendment were our inalienable rights. And our Second Amendment, without the Second Amendment, we lose the First Amendment, we lose the Third Amendment, we lose all of our amendments if we lose the Second. So the Second was to assure that you had the First Amendment. And many of you have written me and said, well, I don't really understand what the First Amendment is. It's your freedom of speech. It's your freedom of religion or to not choose a religion. It is your freedom of the press. The Second Amendment assures your God-given rights to protect your First Amendment. And if you choose not to have a religion, and yet you have the New World Order coming along and saying, along with the Vatican, we're going to force you all to have one world religion, you have the right, the God-given right, with your Second Amendment backing you up, to say, no, I'm not going to have you choose that I have to have a religion, or I have to choose your one world religion. So go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, anybody interested in doing a say-so, just contact me at Oregon Firearms NCOCO, that's INCOCO, that's Columbia County, @gmail.com. So that's Oregon Firearms INCOCO @gmail.com.
Okay.
And I wanted to bring something up, you know, because another thing we've been fighting is this we've been fighting these free murder zones. And that's what it is when they call them gun free zones, but they're free murder zones. Let's face it. And I read a lot of John Lott, and he does the best stats in the world and the most scientific, in my opinion. And do you know that if you want to stop shootings in school, I think a good way to do it is to allow teachers. Train teachers and allow them to carry. Don't force them to carry, but allow them to carry. Since the year 2000, there's not been one single case of someone being wounded or killed from a shooting between the hours of 6 a.m. and midnight at a school where teachers were allowed to carry guns.
Wow.
Not one. There's been one accidental discharge. It was after hours. A guy dropped his gun, shot through a wall or something. Didn't hurt anybody. But other than that, And I was just looking that Ohio teachers have been trained and allowed to carry, and there's been no school attacks in the whole state. So, you know, at some point we got to use our brains and see what works and what doesn't work. It's a terrible thing, any shooting, but there are some crazy people out there, man. And there's always going to be somebody who wants to kill somebody.
Can you talk a little bit about the red flag laws in Oregon?
Well, let's face it, the red flag law, or the ERPO, is... Why don't I just... Let me just do a little bit of history on Oregon gun laws. We had some of the best gun laws in the nation, in my opinion, until 2015. Until 2015 came around, and this guy named Floyd, he's a senator, Floyd Przanski, I call him Anti-Zansky, and that's what I'll call him from now on. He's venomously anti-gun, and he passed SB 941, which was the background check for personal property that is between individuals, which I don't even see how they could even think that was legal. So basically, if you now in Oregon, you're supposed to do a background check if you sell your own personal gun to somebody else, and they came out and. That was in 2015, and they said, the media, being they, said, you know, this is not going to do anything for criminals. And he said, I know, but it's a good start. That was his direct quote. And so then 2016 came around, and they didn't get a gun law passed that year. They had screwed up on the, you know, there's time limits on everything. You got to move it here in such amount of time. And they screwed up, so they didn't get a gun law. But in 2017, they came back strong, and they passed the ERPO, or the red flag law, which violates the 2nd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 9th, and 14th Amendment. And wow. Could maybe even more. So totally unconstitutional. They passed it, and what that does is it allows your – what they – in Oregon – it allows your spouse, your roommate, or a police officer to say, yeah, he's crazy. He's going to kill himself. And they go confiscate your guns. And there's, you know, it's kind of hard to give them back. The cops are afraid to give them back because they could be sued if they give them back and you do go do something at that point. But they take your own personal property without due process. And it's totally unconstitutional. And, of course, this has been popular with all the left-hard states around the country. So then we had, what was that, 2017? And the next law we got, 2018, we got 4145, which was, they call it the boyfriend loophole law because everything's a loophole.
Yeah.
What it did was it redefined what a family member is and expanded the list to – you know, include a lot of people. You could have had sex with a girl in high school and not seen her for 20 years, and she can now put a restraining order on you and have your guns taken.
No way.
Yeah, or a police officer. Anybody you've ever had intimate contact with, a roommate or a spouse, or a domestic partner, like if you're gay, it's just so they could expand the list and take more guns. So then we had, what was that, 2018? 2019, 2020, we didn't get any new gun laws because Oregon Firearms Federation, along with a lot of other patriots and stuff, forced the legislature to walk out, the Republicans to walk out and deny quorum. Because, they were trying to take our guns again. And right. they will not bend. They use that as a ploy to raise money and to turn everybody against the Republicans. So 2021 came along and we got 554. That's just an attack on CHL holders. So CHL holders in Oregon were allowed to go to all public buildings, and now some of them are off limits, including the airport. And they decided to let every school, even though we have a preemption statute, they decided to let the school have the authority to write their own laws so that now they can do it and put kids in danger. So then, of course, 2022, we have 114, and this coming year, 2023, they got 21 laws they're working on, plus one of them is a quote unquote assault weapons ban. So they basically want to take all your guns from you, and I don't know anybody who's going to obey that law. Most of these laws are unenforceable and they're all unconstitutional, and it's I don't know how we can vote these people out. The people keep voting for them.
Well, we get people like we've traded Christine Drazen and Betsy Johnson and Tina Kotek, all three that were in the legislature, now in exchange for Kate Brown. Now we have another one just like her, but on steroids, Tina Kotek. So, of course, if I had been voting in as governor, we wouldn't even be having this discussion right now. We'd be able to make sure we're implementing some changes where this kind of crap wouldn't be taking place. We've got another 4 more minutes, 5 minutes to go. Do you want to wrap up with any other topics or anything that you want to impress upon people before the end of the show?
Well, I just want people to know I'm not down on churches. I believe in God very, very much. I just don't like fake churches. And, you know, without – we are slaves of righteousness. The Americans are. We are bound to liberty. You cannot have liberty without wisdom and virtue, which comes straight from God. And I'm just gonna say that we cannot be the generation that – that fails our children, that fails our posterity. Liberty is I said it before, I'll say it again. Liberty is the inherent possession of men. It's not the gift of government, and we cannot let them take any more of our liberty. And this thing, you know, this thing that you were talking about Slow Joe wrote an executive order, blah, blah, blah. It's not legal. He cannot write a treaty. The Senate has to approve it. It's not going to be approved by the Senate. I mean, we do not have a kingdom here. He's not a king, and he's got limits on his authority. And in fact, presidents have gone way over their authority in the last 50 years, especially the last couple years. Absolutely. But no, we're going to have to start demanding our rights. We're going to have to don't ask, demand. And we're going to have to bring God back in this country. And we're just going to have to fight harder than our founders did.
I think you're right about that. And what's my concern is there's a few more women out there willing to fight more than some of their men. But we need more men and women to not say, well, that's somebody else's job, or they can do it better than I. Just leave me alone to live my life and pay my bills and get from here to there. And it's almost like they're burying their heads in the sand. What has happened to the men as well as the men and women that we remember yesterday helped bring this country about? I mean, it's like we have a bunch of yellow-bellied, you know, cowards out there.
Well, you know, it's always been that way. When things get real easy for people, they tend to get lax.
Right.
They don't fight. And you know, it seems that people don't stand up until things affect them. Unfortunately, they're going to have to open their eyes, or they're going to be... Well, let's face it, they're forging our chains right now.
Chris Brumbles, would you give out your email address one more time, please?
Yes, it's OregonFirearmsIncoco@gmail.com.
Okay, so that's OregonFirearmsIn, like I like in India, N like November?
Yes.
Okay, one more time, give it, please.
OregonFirearmsIncoco@gmail.com. It stands for in Columbia County. So,
okay. Well, yeah. Chris Brumbles, I want to thank you so much for coming on the Edge of Darkness tonight with Republic Broadcasting Network. Chris, as you know, that we are purely listener supported here on RBN, and we are hoping that people will take up and send donations to the Oregon Firearms Federation. And if they feel like they have to send some money to the NRA, I am suggesting sincerely they don't send money to the NRA. They send it to either the Oregon Firearms Federation, or they send it to the Gun Owners of America, who have actually been helping you financially with your fight, correct?
Well, not on this one. They are fighting the state fight, and they're the ones who got the injection. I believe our case starts February 22nd through 24th, our federal case. So we've already had a case, but it was an emergency case, and so it really starts for us. We were the first ones, but you know, GOA was only a couple days behind us. So that they've now bonded 4 cases together. In our case, but the name of our case is Oregon Firearms versus Kate Brown, Oregon Firearm Federation v. Kate Brown. And so keep an eye on that, and you know, pray that we win, because this has wide reaching concerns of everybody.
God bless you, Chris Bromels. Thank you so much for coming on Republic Broadcasting Network, and we'll be in touch in the very near future.
All right. Thank you. God bless. Is a coat you wear twice a year, yeah. This is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take all my chances. Say I sang it 20 years and a day. There's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love. Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to a wall, there is no hope to speak out in the wounded skies above. Say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Do you think we have time? Do you? Do you think we have time? Lord, give us time.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.